the rest of the story. Lucius sang, unfortunately, loved to sing, less fortunately still. At parties, Lucius came and sang and sang and sang, apparently utterly convinced that his purpose in life was to sing. Moreover, was to share his singing voice with anyone, anywhere, anytime. The problem was, Lucius could not sing. At least not as most would define singing. So it was doubtless with more than a touch of sarcasm that somebody at some point suggested that Lucius turn professional, that he sing on the stage. Lucius, quite naturally, as his ear for sarcasm was as deaf as his ear for music, took the suggestion seriously, enthusiastically, and began making plans which would leave their ignominious mark on show business forever after. First, where to debut? Naples seemed logical, known as were the Neapolitans for their understanding and appreciation of great singing. An upcoming music festival was there. The choice seemed even wiser. So a theater was selected, a date was set, a date that would live in musical infamy. For his one-man show, Lucius decided to sing Niobe, the opera, all of it, all by himself. Already lengthy, Lucius deliberately lengthened it further with slow tempi and repetition, the longer to remain on stage. And as the hours trudged one to the next, the audience grew restless and then nervous and finally desperate. Individuals offered every imaginable polite excuse for wishing to leave the theater, urgent business, illness, 9-month-plus pregnancy, only to be sent back to their seats by unsympathetic and most probably tone-deaf security. Some listeners, apparently driven mad by the relentless, awful sound, risked their lives climbing a rear wall to escape. 3 ingenious audience members managed to flee their tormentor by posing as 2 live men carrying out 1 dead one. Yet even when an earthquake, that's right, I mean a real earthquake struck the theater, Lucius, unperturbed, sang on. It was only after the dreadful, interminable performance was mercifully over and the premises were vacated that the theater, the whole building, perhaps having reached the limit of its own aggravation, tumbled to the ground in a heap. Sadly, this fiasco was far from the end of the maestro's singing career. He had access to strings, you see, and he pulled those strings vigorously, endeavoring to promote himself. Even as he faced his own death, weeping, he repeated over and over, "What a loss I shall be to the arts." For once upon an orgy of non-existent self-awareness in the early decades of A.D., there was a musical menace named Lucius Domitius Abinoborus, whom historians reluctantly remember as the Roman Emperor Nero. Now, did Nero actually fiddle while Rome burned, as the saying goes? Almost certainly not. And yet he was hunted down one day in the year 68 and forced to commit suicide, after which his name was erased from every public record and every monument in the empire. For military and political reasons, the history books say. But now you have to wonder, because now you know the rest of the story.